Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. I am Daddy Darren Karp here with Mama Mother Bear John Thrasher. We're telling you to smash that subscribe button if you're watching us on YouTube. Excuse me. But of course, what would Shaken and Disturbed be without Fats McGee, Fats Domino?
Now he's disappeared.
Oh, wait. Hold on. You got to put him in front of you, John. Put him in front of you.
In front of me?
Look at this little fatness Everdeen, this little tub. You look like you're kissing nothing right now, which is great. Here he is.
He's kissing me. Look at him.
Oh, my God. If you're watching on YouTube.
Yeah, watch on YouTube.
Or Patreon supporters, you're really getting magic. He's a full-figured gal.
I have to move my microphone so you can see it in the thing. Hold on.
No, give us his full figure. Give us his full fig. Let's see this boy really spread his wings. These are our little men. This is the thumbnail of this week. And cats are not going to be harmed in the process of our recording this. But look at this little tubbus. Is he not a tubbus? He's a tubbus.
Sorry. Thank you for going with that for a second. He has been so cuddly. I just mentioned it on our Patreon NMR if you want to go listen to it.
He misses you because you were traveling.
No, I was traveling for work last week and he's just,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say he's not, like I said on the show, a big lap cat, but like the last several months, he is like curled up in my chest right now.
Can you manage to record with him in your arms? Which we can like.
I could, but I think it's just too much. He's like he weighs them as much as a Dalmatian. Okay, a Labrador. So I don't think I can.
I was with three very big or big boned orange cats last night at my friend's. We were playing Rummy Cube. And she had Cheesecake Factory cheesecake. So she's like, oh my God, it's best cheesecake. Like, let's go do it. So we had Cheesecake Factory cheesecake. And I just looked over these three tubbousy. Tubbous is just such a good name. Three tubbous, three orange big boys. And I was like, I said to my friend Cameron, I was like, Cam, if Cheesecake Factory were a word in the dictionary and all those words had to correspond with an image, would the three boys not be what the Cheesecake Factory looks like? And so for the rest of the night, we were just calling them Cheesecake Factories and like blue collar workers working at this factory because they are filled with fucking cheesecake.
That's awesome. Going to say cheesecake is kind of a cute name for a cat.
Cheesecake.
I might have to mark. I have a little note in my phone of like names for future cats.
So many names that I just, when Nadine and I bite the bullet and get six cats and a dog, I think I'll be ready. I'm just slipping that in. I always slip that in with her. You know what I mean?
You're like, when I thought you were going to be like, and we finally get a kitten. You're like, get six cats and two dogs. Like,
I mean, I always do that with her. She's like, oh, what do you want to do today? I'm like, let's get three cats. And she's like, okay. Or do you want to go grocery shopping? I'm like, yep. Can we get three cats?
And then get three cats. Yeah.
Like, unfortunately, I don't think this story has anything to do with cats today.
No,
so you're going to want to tune out if you are just too much of a cat lover.
Yeah.
Which I am. I'm barely going to be participating in this episode.
That's right. I just want to mention, we're going to talk about a lot of very interesting things on next week's NMR that will be on our public feed. Spoiler alert. I'm not happy, but we'll talk about that next time. But secondly, I want to bring up, our favorite cat name from our lists that we have, like just one, just to tease it out there. Or do you think that's pressure to then use it later? So maybe we shouldn't do it that way.
Well, I will tell you ones that I've been coming back to, but I can't, I don't think we're going to name the cats this.
Okay. Well then what if people steal too? Maybe we don't
want
to.
Yeah.
Do
I don't want people to steal.
We're thinking
it
out loud. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
I'll tell you one that I liked at one point next week on NMR that I liked at one point that I know I won't use. And then I want the listeners to weigh in. How's that?
Okay.
All right.
Next week you're going to say.
Next week on next week's NMR. Yeah, okay. I'm just teasing next week's NMR because it's a doozy. I can literally, we already have the agenda for next week's NMR. You're going to want to tune in.
You're gonna, yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say.
A full agenda of
that's
my
all
life.
I'm gonna say.
And John's impact on it, I'll say that.
Yeah, that's but, exactly right. Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah.
Let's get into this week's case, John.
Yeah, let's get into it. Okay, so guys, this week we're back in 1999. Okay.
1999.
That's right. Early 1999, 28-year-old Andrew Bagby was completing his last year of medical school at the Memorial University of Newfoundland in Canada with the hopes of one day becoming a surgeon. Andrew originally grew up in Sunnyvale, California with his parents, Kate and David Bagby. An only child, Andrew was close to his mom and his dad, speaking with them often and visiting whenever he could. As he was moving through the final year of his studies, Andrew met another doctor working in his office, Shirley Turner. Now, Shirley was 12 years older than Andrew and an extremely intelligent woman who sailed through medical school. By the way, can you imagine sailing through medical school? I have so much respect for like lawyers and doctors because we actually just talked about this too on the Patreon NMR, just about like being a student and stuff. And I was saying on NMR that I feel like I learned how to learn better, if that makes sense. Like I know how to absorb information better than I did when I was in college. And I kind of want to like go back to school a little bit and like just see how I do. And like, I don't know, I've just become a better student of life, you know? I went to a very big party school and I was like not always
present. Well, and you're in college, you're kind of thinking about like, okay, like what do I want to major into? What do I think I want to do for my future?
Right.
But I think now it's like, okay, well, I know what I'm interested in and I know what I'd want to do. So like you can go back and really like become a master, if you will, an expert or whatever we're going to say in something that you really like, as opposed to something that your parents are like, okay, I got to get my math course done. I got to get one course in geography
or
whatever the fuck it is. Like you have to take so many requirements just to give you a well-rounded education that now you can really get specific on things. Yeah. I mean, I do think it's so clear with people in college who major in things that's just like, it's really hard to translate to jobs afterwards, like gender studies, for example. I'm not saying that that's like a worthless major, but it's super hard.
How do you
translate
that
specifically? Yeah. I mean, even sometimes you talk about your English degree and it's like, unless
you
want to become a novelist or go to a creative writing school or something, it's like that doesn't necessarily translate into a job. Not that psych did either, but I kind of made it work. It's just like, I think now you can get more specialized is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, not to go on about this, but I was a creative writing major when I first started in college because I had won like all these awards for my creative writing in high school. Like I did poems and all this type of stuff. And I was like, oh, I'll turn that into a degree. And then like literally halfway through my sophomore year, I was like, I don't know that there's a job market for poetry. So I switched it to professional writing and editing, which gives me a more kind of like well-rounded, marketable degree. But yeah, I just wonder, like, you know, if I got another bachelor's or a master's or something, like what would I do and how good of a student would I be? You know, I don't know. Just something to think about.
That's a good point.
For all of you listening to the show and not watching on YouTube, I am giving a little bit of cleavage today. I don't know if that's interesting or makes you want to puke, but it is available on YouTube as of Monday.
And not only cleave, but a little chest hair going with it.
A little bit of like hairy boobs, actually, if you want to check that out. It's available for you now.
Me and him.
Early on Patreon.
Who's going to get more likes? All of a sudden, our subscriber list just goes up.
Yeah,
you know?
Everyone unsubscribed instantly. Early on Patreon, of course, we release episodes on Friday, both audio and video, and then video on Monday. So go check it out. Okay, back to this story. I don't know why I derail us all the time like this. So she sailed through medical school, and although she did sail through medical school, she had virtually no bedside manner and, in fact, had a habit of making inappropriate jokes or comments that often left those around her feeling a little bit uneasy. You hear this in a lot of people that have like really high IQs, like they can be really, really smart, but sort of emotionally not mentally, but like emotionally detached, socially detached is what I'm trying to say. That's not a fact. It's just kind of something I've always heard. But anyway, this behavior was notorious enough throughout the hospital that Shirley's nickname amongst fellow doctors was the witch.
Oh, damn.
Wow. I wish somebody would call me the witch.
Damn.
Magic screaming behind me.
Yeah. Is Shirley being me and some of my ex-girlfriends are calling me that? Because that seems very appropriate. Here we go.
Ooh. There we go. Oh, I know some of the. Okay, anyway, let's keep going.
Yeah. We're like
Nonetheless,
reminiscing. We're like,
we're like, I
oh.
think I know who you're talking about. Nonetheless, Shirley and Andrew hit it off right away. And according to Andrew's former classmates, Shirley seemed to appear one day and was just kind of around all of the time after that. And by the time Andrew and Shirley met, Shirley had been divorced twice and was recently out of a long-term relationship with a younger man. And it
Wow.
was, yeah, and it was later learned that this man had attempted to end his relationship with Shirley multiple times, but she continued to pursue him so aggressively that he eventually moved from Newfoundland, Canada, to the neighboring town of Labrador in order to cut communication with her, which is what I just compared magic to in this episode, earlier in this episode.
Well, to be fair, you compared him to the size and weight of a
Of a
Labrador. Very
Labrador.
important. Yep.
Of a Labrador, exactly. Well, undeterred, Shirley was able to track him down to his new home. So her ex
Jesus.
moved again, this time crossing the border to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which, by the way, as someone who lives in Pittsburgh, I just want to make sure everyone knows, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, though both begin with the letter P, are not the same city and are nowhere near each other. They're on opposite sides of
No,
Pennsylvania.
Alabama's right in the middle of it, in
Alabama's
Pennsylvania.
in the middle. Hello, US
Yeah.
Geography 101. Talk about being a student. So
Yeah,
anyway,
exactly.
Shirley hunted down this man again, and this time overdosing on over-the-counter sleep medication and waiting for hours on the steps outside of his apartment building for him to return home. So things are getting, as I said, hairy
We
very
need.
quickly.
Have you watched Baby Reindeer?
No, I keep hearing about how amazing it
I
is.
don't want to spoil it,
Don't tell me
guys.
anything.
I've watched it. We'll talk about it on next week's NMR. John, can you
Yeah,
add
I
that to
will.
NMR as I read this? But for everyone, you need to watch this. This is a it's a true story. The guy who was starring in it happened to him. He was the one who wrote it. Just think about Stalker and that type of
Does
relationship, but you need to watch it on Netflix.
speaking of inappropriate stuff like that, does this have anything to do with a former bartender or your pregnancy?
Oh, no,
No,
definitely
it's
not.
not a
It's
documentary of that. Okay.
that baby reindeer, no, has
Different
yeah,
has,
now it's an adolescent
unfortunately.
reindeer. Yes,
Okay.
exactly. You will want to see this though.
That baby reindeer is in different custody, is
It's
what you're
attending
saying.
Carnegie Mellon as we
Got it.
speak, John. You
Oh,
should know that.
okay. I'll keep an eye out.
So when her
Shout out to
ex
Tersh. Here
when
we
her
go.
yeah, shout out to Tersh. When her ex found her, she was covered in scrapes and minor abrasions from dragging
Oh my
herself up and
God.
down the cement steps in her groggy state. Obviously, there's something going on here, something deeper. This isn't just like a scorned lover. She's already with she's dating Andrew. She's fallen in love with Andrew, but obviously at a young age, being divorced twice, you know, maybe there's some relationship troubles that are kind of happening at this point.
Well, I was going to say, as somebody who has notoriously talked about the time where I dressed up as Amy Winehouse for Halloween, walked home barefoot, and seesawed into a broken window of my own apartment,
As one does.
I do know that you do get scrapes and minor abrasions from dragging yourself up and down cement. So
That you do.
I'm weighing in from a first person account on that regard.
I can only imagine what this ex was thinking,
Yeah,
especially
can
as
you
a guy,
imagine?
because, you know, I mean, she could have easily said he did it, and I'm sure people would believe her, you know, just especially if he was
Yeah,
a
that's a good
younger guy,
point.
he could take over space. But here's the thing with her ex found a half written suicide note. Shirley was brought to a Philadelphia hospital where it was found that she had not taken enough medication for her situation to be considered a serious suicide attempt. And in that way, I think it was just basically a cry for help, trying to get the attention of someone, probably this ex. Now, Shirley left the hospital in the middle of the night, returned home to Newfoundland, and never spoke to her ex again.
Can I just say one thing here, though? Keep in mind, too, that this is 1999, right? Because I think that although that wasn't that long ago, 25 years ago, I think, suicide, what's a quote serious suicide attempt? I mean, aren't they all serious to some degree like that? I mean, I get where what they're saying here with the medication, but I wonder if in 2024 that same attempt might be looked at a little bit differently because we have evolved a little bit on mental health over the last several years. So,
Yeah, I don't know the. I'm not a mental health professional, so I don't know what the
right.
specific qualifications are, but I imagine attempting to hang yourself or doing something like that is a little bit different than maybe like
Yeah.
drinking a fifth of vodka and taking
Right.
seven Advil.
Some kind of
I don't
thing. Yeah.
know, but I'm just saying like there does seem to be maybe a difference of
Yeah, you would think
severity
so.
in
Yeah.
things that happen. Now, okay, so she never speaks to her ex again. Now, of
Right.
course, Andrew knew none of this when he started dating Shirley, although he did learn that she was a mother of three. Wow. Her two eldest children live with their grandparents, and her youngest live with her father, which who was Shirley's ex-husband. That's a lot to take on, you know,
It's a lot of life going on
even
over
for a
there.
neuroatypical person, that is a
Yeah.
lot to sort of take on. And Andrew visited his parents shortly after he and Shirley started seeing each other and was excited to tell them about his new friend. During this visit, Shirley called Kate and David's home to speak to Andrew, who happened to be out. Kate and David are obviously Andrew's parents. Now, instead, Shirley started talking to Kate, regaling her story with her, regaling her with stories about her family, complaints about her ex-husbands. I would say that this is just women befriending women, just kind of kibitzing and doing that stuff. Now, when the phone call concluded, Kate commented that Shirley seemed nice enough, but it was difficult to get off the phone with her. She just wouldn't stop talking. There's a Seinfeld episode about that. There's just no break in the conversation. We're like, all right, you know, we're just like, great day. And you always know that break in the conversation where you're supposed to say, like, all right, great talking to you. We'll have that. But if there is no room to say that, all right, that is
Well,
tough.
if you listen to Thursday's M or this past week's NMR on Patreon, I just would not shut up. I literally just kept
And I
going.
kept saying, all right, to
Pretty
John,
much,
but it wasn't, I
kind of
wasn't,
did.
it
Literally,
wasn't
she had to
happening.
move things off of our agenda because I wouldn't stop talking. Anyway, keep going.
No, you're perfect. Well, when the phone call concluded, so she said that she seemed nice enough, but when Andrew
Yeah.
finished school, he got accepted to a surgical residency program in upstate New York, and Shirley took another job in Iowa. That is pretty long distance. Now, the two continued their relationship long distance, but as the time went on, Andrew just seemed to grow tired of it. Listen, I've never dated someone when they were taking a residency program, but one of my best friends is a doctor, and it even her now being a full doctor, I don't even know how she has a girlfriend. Like, it is so hard to date someone like that. So,
My
just with schedules overnight, shit like that, it's just
well,
crazy.
and also, yeah, one of my best friends is dating someone who's in their residencies right now, and they have to move every couple years. I mean, it's a lot,
It's a
a
right because then
lot.
you get placed certain places and it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
So Andrew grows tired of this relationship, frequently complaining to his friends that Shirley just kind of refused to get off the phone. She refuses to leave him alone, even from across the country. And he probably is such a nice guy. He doesn't know how to fucking end the conversation and be like, all right.
Yeah. So in July of 2001, Andrew attended a wedding with some friends who recalled that over the course of the evening, Shirley called his phone over 30 times. Was it a Motorola Razr? We may never know. We talked about that on NMR. Lots of references to NMR today. So
Yes.
while he answered several of her calls, eventually he began sending her straight to voicemail and seemed to
Oh,
be
ooh.
extremely aggravated. Around
He
this
le
time,
as the kids would
yeah.
say, he left her on red.
Left her on red in a sense, absolutely. Around this time, Andrew realized surgery wasn't for him, and he pivoted his career actually, taking up a new residency at a family practice in Pennsylvania. At the start of October, Shirley was granted a gun permit. Cool, because that seems to be the next logical thing that can happen here. And immediately went out and purchased a 22 caliber handgun and enrolled in a firearm training program. Okay, well, that's good. At least we're learning how to do this.
Yeah.
By mid-October, Shirley called Andrew with big news to share, though. She was 3 months pregnant. Now, the two planned for Shirley to visit Andrew in his new town in early November. And on November 3rd, the day Shirley was scheduled to fly home, she told Andrew that actually, just kidding, psych, she's been lying about the pregnancy,
What
actually.
a roller fucking coaster.
So Andrew, as you can expect, was furious about this and ended the relationship with her over at the airport and sent her back home. I mean, yeah, I would do this too if someone was
You're
lying to
lying
me
about
about
it,
that.
or if
Yeah.
it was like a false positive, you know, that's different than lying.
That's
You know,
different. Yeah.
being having something kind of happen mistakenly is another thing than just being like, yeah, I made it all up just to see you and
Exactly.
commit you to this. Like, that's wild.
Exactly. However, Shirley was back in Pennsylvania 2 days later, having driven 16 hours from the Iowa airport to Andrew's house. Andrew arrived at work. This is getting crazy. Andrew arrived at work Tuesday morning complaining that Shirley showed up on his doorstep at 5:30 in the morning. His supervisor recalls Andrew advising Andrew, quote, "If I break up with somebody and put them on a plane and send them 1,300 miles away, if they knock on my front door, I'm going out the back door and I'm calling the police." This is according to his supervisor.
Yeah.
He er and I would do that too.
Me
That's like
too.
beyond. He urged Andrew not to meet up with Shirley in private at all, but Andrew assured his supervisor that he was overreacting and agreed to meet with Shirley after his shift. And you might guess where this may go.
You know, and this is hard because it's like how much of these little interactions are just because we want to believe that they're overreacting. And like, if you take it seriously and they just end up being
Yeah.
emotional, you feel like a heel for doing this. But then if
Right.
you underreact to something, obviously it could be too little too late. And so it's sort of like a
Yeah.
better safe than sorry. And, you know, and maybe he was also like, I'm a guy and she's a
Yeah.
girl and there's a, I could take her. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just
Maybe.
speculating that I wonder if they're. If the sexes were reversed, like would this happen? And after work, Andrew drove to a nearby park for their 6 p.m. meeting. His body was found the following morning. He'd been shot once in the face, the chest, the back of his head, and twice in his buttocks. Authorities who investigated the scene found a discarded handgun and bullet casings close to Andrew's body of an identical type to one owned by Shirley. She wasn't really great at getting rid of the evidence.
No, and remember, she just had bought this gun, or had
It's
bought a
22.
gun. Yeah.
Right. Now, additionally, a witness who was near the park at the time of the shooting told investigators that they had seen a car parked next to Andrew's in the lot that matched the description of Shirley's vehicle. Police spoke to Shirley the following day. She was back at home in Iowa, insisted she was sick in bed on the evening of the murder. This girl willing to drive 16 hours, though, to and fro. So I don't know.
And I'll say this too again, just to keep some relevance here about the timing. 2000, where are we now? 1999, 2000, wherever it was. You know, there weren't cameras on every corner. No one had an iPhone yet. You weren't able to
They weren't
record
driving
all this.
Teslas to track our locations.
That's right. And so it's a little bit easier with to say that you were sick in bed all night because there probably weren't traffic cameras, you know, monitoring your license plate and being able to track you, like
Well,
Darren
not
just
only
said.
that, she, in fact, she even denied she ever made the drive from Iowa to Pennsylvania at all. So she's just basically like, no, I've been here. I don't know what you're talking about. But investigators were able to get hold of her phone records, which showed her phone pinging off cell phone towers along the route to and from Andrews Town. So we always have cell phone records, which was big in the Adnan Syed case. That
I
was
was
happening
just
right around this
going
time.
to say this was the same time, so should we include, you know, but I think that's a little bit of a different case because Adnan lived in the area and was not traveling
Right. If
across state
she was sick in
lines.
bed,
Right.
you know, she would certainly. Iowa to Pennsylvania is not like a 2 hour drive at any given place.
Right.
I mean, this is long. Now,
Right.
with an overwhelming amount of, albeit circumstantial, but evidence against her, police returned with a warrant for her arrest, only to
Oh
find
my
that she had
God.
already flown back to Canada.
She's like,
And
see you later. You can't catch me across these borders.
well, on December 12th, Shirley was
Hey.
arrested in Newfoundland, but released on $75,000 bail after just a few hours. The Pennsylvania
Interesting.
court had submitted a request for her extradition, so she was a free woman while the paperwork was pending, as long as she turned in her passport and promised not to leave Newfoundland. Now, 2 months later, with the extradition paperwork still pending, because of course, Shirley made an announcement. She was actually pregnant with Andrew's baby. Now,
Oh
Andrew's
boy.
parents, David and Kate, weren't sure what to think. They had no idea if she was being honest about her pregnancy. Obviously, she doesn't have a good track record with that. Let alone if the baby had actually been
I was
fathered
just
by
gonna say
their
that.
now deceased son.
Yeah.
But if Shirley was indeed telling the truth, they definitely wanted custody of their grandchild. And being
Oh
this
my God,
second
yeah.
separate legal process of petitioning the court for rights over the unborn baby. These
Yeah.
parents, man, I can only imagine.
Yeah, so by May of 2002, Shirley was still free on bail in Canada, and almost no headway had been made on her extradition. In spite of the huge amount of evidence, the courts were tied up with the deciphering the legal interpretation of language in Canada's extradition treaty that would ultimately help decide whether or not Shirley could be sent back to the U.S. to be tried for murder. In July of 2022, Shirley gave birth to baby Zachary. A DNA test determined that he was Andrew's biological son. I just kind of read that like Murray, like Mari, Murray. What am I saying? I just kind of read that
Mari?
like Mari. He was Andrew's biological
You
son.
are not the father. Yes,
but in this case,
he is.
He was. That, right. Exactly. Okay,
I'm just
we got
doing
that out.
The
You're
Maury
doing it.
interpretation.
Okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
Right.
yeah.
Just to be clear for everybody listening, this is Andrew is the father. Okay, there we go.
Yes.
Kate and David settled with Shirley out of court and were granted supervised access to their grandson. They were allowed one visit per week, which was required to take place at family court under strict supervision. Kate and David cherished the brief periods they got to spend with Zachary, taking lots of photos, buying new clothes and toys to send home with him, and telling him stories about the father that he would never get a chance to meet, which is so heartbreaking.
That's so sad.
David even started working on a video compilation of Andrew's life, asking friends and relatives to send in recordings, sharing their favorite memories of their late son so that they could one day share it with Zachary. That's really beautiful. And, you know, listen, I'm not trying to make it about me, but, you know, I lost my uncle in 2007 and he had a 3-year-old daughter at the time. And unfortunately, a lot of, you know, family and friends didn't have a lot of video. As I said, in 2007, even, you know, video, of course, there were video cameras, but not everyone had an iPhone at that stage. So, you know, that's one thing I kind of really regret. And it's kind of sad is that there isn't a lot of video. So I like that they're doing that. David was doing something like this to preserve those memories. Now, Shirley was under court order to refrain from contacting Kate and David, but did so anyway, sending them photos of the baby and even a baby book, asking them to fill out their side of the family tree.
That's so manipulative because obviously
really
for
is.
Them to say no, it feels like they want access to Zachary and she's kind of this key in order to get in, you know, it's crazy.
And I'm assuming at this point, there's no direct way to sort of even conclude that she is connected to this case, you know, that she hasn't been able to have a trial yet. So they don't even know the evidence.
Right. Yeah. We can't even say that yet, but still, obviously this woman, parents have hunches, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So though the Bagbys were convinced Shirley had killed Andrew, they too kept contact with Shirley in order, of course, to maintain as much access to Zachary as possible. And that's
really
the sad
thin
part
line.
Of this.
Yeah, yeah, really thin line of all of this going down. We don't even know if the parents at this point knew that she had lied to Andrew
saying
she was
right.
pregnant and then lied again because it actually was true. So
right.
I don't know why she would do that, though, because if she was pregnant, he might have stayed with her. Like, he might have. So why lie? Why take
Hard
it back?
Say. I mean, when you're this emotionally and mentally unstable, like it seems Shirley is.
Exactly. Maybe it's just to like create chaos, you know, and there's like a normalcy in that chaos. Now, in November of 2002, a Canadian judge ruled that there was enough evidence against Shirley for the case to be taken to trial. Hmm. Shirley was taken to a Canadian jail and Kate and David were awarded full custody of Zachary. Now, part of the custody agreement required them to take one phone call from Shirley every day and make a weekly drive of 150 miles round trip, so about 2.5 hours approximately, to the prison so that Shirley could see her son. Okay, as of right now where it stands, like, I don't necessarily mind that, only because she is the biological mother of this kid. She's in prison, so it's not like she's going to be a harm to him, but you do, I don't know. Like,
yeah, but
if court
she's
ordered...
Right. And if she is the murderer, which it seems to be at this stage in the game, like, you don't want your son around somebody like that.
Totally. But
grandson?
She's still the mother of the grandson.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's
that's
so
a good
hard,
point.
You know, it's still so hard. She's still the biological mother. And even though she might be a crazy person, she's still maybe someone that Zachary later would want to get to know. I don't know.
This is a good question for listeners. What do you guys think? If a parent... You know, let's assume we know where this is going to go. Let's assume she is the murderer for a moment. If the other parent is the murderer, do you think, listeners, you know, we just express our own thoughts. Do you think the other parent, that parent rather, is entitled to be around their child? I guess technically they are. But I mean, like, oh my God, I would not be able, if I was the grandparents in this situation, I would not be able to sleep knowing that that was the case.
Well,
so it's a dilemma.
This is, you know, this obviously forced Kate and David to have to interact with Shirley face to face every week. So it's kind of a constant reminder of this. Now, in January of 2003, the Canadian court re-released Shirley from prison on bail with the explanation that they didn't believe her to be a threat to the public. Zachary was returned to Shirley's custody, and Kate and David were once again back to visitation. This time, they were granted 3 weekly, 3 to 4 hour visits, and one overnight visit every 2 weeks. So 3 weekly, so you're basically seeing your kid, if you max that out, 12 hours a week and one 24-hour visit every 2 weeks. Not a lot of time,
Yeah, and it's also not
but
probably a
better than
great,
nothing.
it's better than nothing, but it's probably not a great life experience for Zachary. I mean, who wants to be split up and like, in these kind of out of sync routines on a weekly basis?
Well, I mean, divorced parents do it, but I think that the
Yeah, no, yeah.
damage, and again, my parents aren't divorced and I don't have kids, but I think a lot of the damage comes from what the parents say when the other parent isn't around.
No, it's true.
You
Absolutely, it
know, like
does.
your
Yeah.
dad is this, your mom is this. Like, so much damage can be done if
Totally.
Kate and David, we're just like, okay, you're gonna go with your mom now, and maybe
Right.
hyping her up, not saying the truth, but we don't know what Shirley's saying. And so
That's
that's
true.
gonna be the thing that really fucks up the kid. Now, this
Right.
once again required David and Kate needing to spend large stints of time with the woman they believe
Right.
to be their son's killer. Now, this routine continued until June 10th of 2003, when the court finally ordered Shirley's extradition back to the United States, where she would finally face trial for murder. Shirley's legal team appealed, and a hearing date was set for September 25th of that year. On August 16th, Kate and David spent a day at a water park with Zachary and Shirley. The Bagbys agreed
Oh
to
my
drive
God.
Shirley and the baby home at the end of the day. And when they got home, baby Zachary was asleep in the car, as a baby is wont to do in a car. But
Right.
instead of simply taking him inside, Shirley woke the baby up and said, "Say goodbye to grandma and granddad." And when Zachary
Wow.
began to cry, Shirley picked him up and said, "You can't always be with your grandparents," and went inside, which
Yeah,
is
this.
maybe to the naked eye something of just like, all right, say bye, you're going to see them in a week, or you're going to talk to them tomorrow.
Yeah.
But knowing Shirley and knowing this case like we kind of do, this feels very ominous and very foreshadowy.
Yeah. Well, this is where it gets really intense because at around 3 a.m. on August 18th, Shirley tied baby Zachary to the front of her body with a sweater and jumped off a cliff into the Atlantic Ocean.
God.
Police
Oh my
notified the
God.
Bagbys, who were not only completely heartbroken once again, now they've lost, their grandson on top of all of this, but enraged that Shirley had been allowed to take their grandson from them after murdering Andrew. It took David and Kate years to process their grief. I mean, how could you ever? I mean, does that ever get truly processed in this
Well, and you
case?
sort of feel like it could have been avoidable. Like,
That's my
and it's
point.
obviously really hard because if Shirley didn't, right? If she was just kind of this crazy stalker, emotionally wrecked, but didn't actually kill him, then she should have rights to
Yeah,
Zachary,
it's
And
true.
so
Yeah.
it's such a sticky, slippery slope. So
Absolutely.
hard.
And when they were finally able to hold their heads above water, they became zealous advocates for bail reform, actually, in the hopes that a tragedy like theirs could never befall anyone again. In 2007, David published a book about his family's arduous ordeal called Dance with the Devil, a memoir of murder and loss. In 2008, the Bagbys released a film titled Dear Zachary, a letter to a son about his father. The film began as the video compilation, as the video compilation that David had started at that we just mentioned a few minutes ago, in the hopes of one day sharing Andrew's memories with Zachary. It is now a heartbreaking true crime story and available to stream online, actually.
I've seen it actually years ago.
Oh,
I watched
really?
it, and it's really, really sad. And the film was named of 2008's top five documentaries by the National Board of Review of Motion Pictures and was included
Wow.
in the Film Vaults list of top five good movies you'll never want to see again. And
Yeah,
I
yeah.
obviously just because of how gut-wrenching it is. Now, in
Right.
2009, Newfoundland signed Zachary's bill into legislation. The law allows courts to justify refusing bail to people accused of serious crimes for the purpose of protecting their children. Kate
Yeah.
and David have also set up two scholarships in their son's name and have awarded grants to over 50 medical students, which is really, really, really
Yeah,
impressive.
it's
And the love of a parent, I mean, is probably one of the strongest forces I feel like we kind of have here.
Yeah, and at least, they were able to turn around, this really huge tragedy into something more positive for at least 50 other medical students, among other things. So,
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
heartbreaking story there.
Well, obviously we want to hear from the parents out there. We want to hear from everyone out there, but we
Yeah.
definitely want to hear from parents just because I'm Curiously, do you ever heard this law? Have you guys seen Dear Zachary? What would you do in that situation? What could you do in that situation? Let us know at Carpe Darren, at Jay Thrasher, Shaken and Disturbed podcast fans on Facebook. Of course, we have our Patreon. And of course, you can comment down below on our YouTube section, which is youtube.com/@ Shaken and Disturbed. All those things are in our show notes. Please reach out to us because I'm so curious about this opinion.
Wow. Darren's doing work there for a second.
You're welcome.
Oh, thanks for that. Well, let's do some listener shout outs, a little bit of a change of pace here. Brittany Goodman in our Facebook group posted what may be the first ever AI pictures of us, Darren.
I was going to mention this on NMR. I'm glad we're waiting to this end of the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. She posted a picture. I don't even think she's responded yet as we record this about where she found this, but she shared a picture of you and I saying, quote, "When did Dad's hair get lighter? I love it." And Darren, I saw the post and in the photo, it's Darren's face, but much lighter, almost silvery hair. Which
I
is
commented.
Not
I don't even know where that picture's from.
That was
I feel
my
like
point.
I don't know. It must have been from a shoot years ago. But I commented and I said, "Well, first off, thank you. That's so nice." But no,
yeah,
it's just the same. I mean, if you look on our YouTube, it's the same dark.
Yeah, we've got the same
chocolatey brown hair. I guess we're gonna say that it's been. But it's. I was like, "What the hell? You look normal," but then you said it wasn't your face.
No, it was my face. I know the face and the hair. That was normal, but the background, it looked like I was on a step and repeat. And I know as you know, I haven't been on a ton of step and repeats in my life, and I would have known for sure what that would have been. So it looks like almost like they took my face somewhere and put it a different background. I was like, what is going on here? But your picture was way more different than your actual face. So I don't know. Like, how does that even happen? I don't know. Well, Brittany, thank you for finding it. If you find
the internet gods telling me something,
if you can tell us where it's from, maybe we can track it down. It looked like kind of one of those things that's like, you know, at the bottom of the Apple podcast where it shows you who the hosts are. But like my picture isn't on that. At least I don't think it is. Anyway, we'll get to the bottom of this true crime investigation soon.
Jackie, Coco and Don, which is a great band name, all shared a new radish meme that is making its rounds on the internet. It says, when something's kind of rad, but not too rad, and includes a pic of a radish. You know, it's radish.
Yeah, it's radish.
And
our radishes are very rad. You know what I mean?
Our radishes are the raddest.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way,
just incredible people.
I love our radishes. By the way, I just looked it up. I went into our podcast, and that's exactly where they're from.
Can we change that?
I thought so. Here's the thing. And so, in case you guys don't know what I'm talking about,
look like me.
If you go on Apple Podcasts. And, you know, go to the bottom of our show page. It'll say things like the trailer, our ratings, our reviews. And it says hosts and guests. And of course, Darren and I are there as the hosts. And Darren, it's like, it's crazy. Like that is not your, it almost looks like you're wearing a wig.
It doesn't look right.
Yeah, it's really weird. I will say those two images, Apple has had this feature where it shows you the host pictures for many, many years. And they would only let like the biggest podcasts upload pictures there. I had looked into this when we were at Oxygen, and because we weren't like the number one, you know, whatever podcast, they were just like not uploaded. So I don't know where this image is coming from, but that's
I don't know.
Happening.
Maybe you can only get in if you don't look like yourself, because that ain't me. But yeah. Just crazy. If you want to see what we actually look like, though, don't forget to follow us on YouTube. Full
that's
video
a good segue.
Episodes posted every single Monday.
That's right. And you can support us on Patreon if you can. Of course, it means so much to us. And it is the best way to directly support the show. We have years of content now just waiting for you for as little as $5 a month, or even cheaper if you sign up annually. Darren, and that's cheaper
I've learned,
than...
I've learned it's cheaper than a Tesla, because I've learned this because I just got a Tesla. That's right.
That's right. Check out our Patreon NMR this week to learn more about that. All right, that's it for this week's episode. And before we sign off, I just want to make sure everyone remembers, although you might be going into summer and allergy season may be behind you, please still take your vitamins.
And I was going to say, check your pit, not your Philadelphia. Check your pits, especially if you have a penis.
We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.